Thanks, Greg. And just wanted to say what a great job he does as the leader of our conference, and also an awesome job yesterday, I thought, with his opening statements. But first of all, good morning. And appreciate you guys coming out. Appreciate what you do for our sport. You know, on the I guess 1985 was the first SEC Media Days, which kind of amazes me. That's 31 years, and it has become this. 1,500 people registered here, and actually on the flight over, one of our players, Brandon Cablano, asked me if, I guess a lot of you guys know Claude Felton, our SID, and Claude's been around apparently for a long time, but Brandon Cablano asked me if I thought Claude drove Herschel Walker over here in 1982, and I was not sure, and of course I asked Claude this morning, and he said the event didn't start till 85, and that he was in fact working at University of Georgia in 1982, so Claude's been with us for a long time, and I'd be remiss if I didn't thank him for the wonderful job he does for me at the University of Georgia. But I also want to take this opportunity to thank you guys. The coverage you give us is tremendous. The coverage we get in the SEC is second to none. These student athletes, it's really awesome, and that's a lot of credit to the work that you guys do, and we know you're away from your family for a lot of this time as well. You know, this is my first media days, but I am no stranger to the SEC. This starts my 18th season as part of the SEC. You know, I had five as a player, had one as an administrative assistant, three as a position coach, and eight as a coordinator. In that time, I've had the great benefit of being to every venue in the SEC. And the passion and energy that this conference exudes is incredible. I really want to reemphasize Commissioner Sankey's mantra yesterday, it just means more. It really does in this conference, and you see that when you've been to places that I've been able to go. And I love that about this conference. It's been special to me. In December, I was given an opportunity of a lifetime, and I hadn't slowed down since. My first objective was to assemble a great staff. You know, every guy that I hired has been at an SEC school in some capacity, has some part of the SEC attached to them. I thought that was important. A lot of NFL experience on our staff, I thought that was important. But by far and away, the most important thing in assembling our staff was the quality of men and how they develop leadership and character for our team. And I think each guy I was able to hire on our staff is really good at that, along with the attachment to the SEC. In a big part, the next objective for us after assembling the staff was setting the tone in the strength and conditioning program. We were able to hire Scott Sinclair from Marshall, and he hired a great staff, and those guys are really driving our players and getting great gains in the strength and conditioning program. Our student athletes at Georgia have responded well to our new expectations. We've driven them in the weight room. We've got a mantra right now of attack the day, ATD, and they've done that every day, day in and day out. These kids have come to work, and they worked hard in the weight room. They've responded well to Coach Sinclair's staff and also our coaching staff being in there. You know, the transition and familiarity for me with our team was a little different than most new coaching jobs. You know, a lot of these players I knew through recruiting. I'd actually been in a lot of their homes through recruiting, so I had a good feel for our team. Also being in the conference helped know a little bit about these guys. But, you know, in saying that, earning their trust is a different factor. I really think in order to push kids and coach kids the way we want to coach them, you've got to have their trust. It takes quality time. It takes being truly invested in them as a person to earn that trust. And our staff has made that a top priority to spend that quality time with our players so that we can have their trust and make great demands on them to be great student athletes at the University of Georgia. You know, we had a very productive spring that was capped off by an SEC attendance record. 93,000 hungry dog fans came out. And with that, I just say it means more. It means more to the University of Georgia. To have 93,000 people there is really incredible. And we capped that spring practice off after 15 days of hard work and getting better to what you can simulate as a real game. And that was great for our kids. And although spring ball went well in terms of players being responsive to the new coaches, it's the next 6 weeks that will determine the outcome of our season and success of our season. So these next 6 weeks are the focal point for us now moving forward. We've got to find a way to get our freshman class that just came in married up with the current roster we have and make sure those guys get the right seats on the bus. And big part of what we do is finding out who's on the bus and what seats on the bus they're in. And we as coaches have got to do a great job over the next 6 weeks assembling that. A lot of these kids we brought in will compete for playing time, but they'll also provide a great amount of depth, which is important in the SEC. You know, 63% of our team is going to be sophomores or less. So we've got a young team, and we also only have 12 scholarship seniors on this team. So I know two of the young men that I brought today are juniors, and they're leaders on our team, and I'm going to speak about them here briefly. We're also excited and honored to be part of the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. You know, we get to play the divisional ACC champs in UNC, and, you know, Coach Fedora, I think, does an outstanding job with his program, always has. I've known Coach Fedora since he was at Florida years ago. You know, we opened the season in Atlanta. Claude actually informed me that we were the first neutral site game to sell out for opening weekend, which I think is a credit to our fan base and how hungry the Dog Nation is to play that game in our backyard of Atlanta. We're excited also about our new $30 million indoor facility that's gone up. It'll be finished in January, and we'll be able to move in there and use it in our all-season conditioning program. The three student-athletes we brought today in attendance are really special to me because these three guys not only are great leaders, but they're great people. You know, Dom Sanders from Tucker High School. I knew Dom through recruiting. Dom's a junior, defensive back, history major. Great kid and great competitor, man. I mean, he really is. He's got 6 career interceptions. I have no doubt that he'll have a lot more than that by the time his career ends. And he works hard day in and day out. And I'm excited to have him here today. Brandon Cablano, who is a real estate major. Cablano is a bright young man. He is fun to be around. And I'll give him a little credit. You know, as we left this morning, we're over on Eastern time. So we had to leave 7:30, fly out 7:30. And they came over this morning, and each one of them had already worked out. They went in at 6 a.m. to get their workout because they didn't want to miss that as they were coming over to media days. They got that workout in before, and Cablano kind of organized that through the strength staff. And meant a lot to me just to see his leadership. And then Jeb Blazevich, young man from Charlotte, North Carolina. Very high character, risk management and insurance major. Both he and Brandon Cablano are part of our Terry College of Business, which is one of the best business schools in the country that I was very fortunate to graduate from as well. And I'm excited to have those three guys. I hope you guys will spend time and get to know those three guys as well. We've got 8 returning starters on offense. Some of those you could argue are debatable. At certain positions, 3 of our 5 offensive line coming back. That's a big key to our success. We'll be the front. We'll be the line of scrimmage. And we've got to find 8 to 10 players that can play winning football on that offensive line for us to be successful. Obviously, we have some questions at injuries at running back. And we've got a good tight end core and receiving core coming back. And obviously, the quarterback battle will be talked about a lot today. It's very important that each and every one in this room understands that our coaching staff is going to put the young man out there who gives us the best opportunity to win football games. We are devoted to practicing the right way and getting each guy good reps. You know, we went back and looked before I came in the spring. We ended up 30%, 29%, 29% of the reps taken. That's right at 90% of those three guys, and they were pretty balanced in the reps they took. I think that's important because when you start cutting down on those reps, you cut down on their ability to get better. And each coach is trying to find a way to get these three guys better and more prepared for what's to come in our upcoming season. Now, we've got 6 returning starters on defense. Biggest concern for me and our team is the defensive line. We've got to do a great job there. We've got to stay injury-free, and we've got to continue to develop the guys that just got on campus. And if those guys can get better, we can have good depth there. You know, with only 12 scholarship seniors, like I mentioned, I think anytime you have that, the best teams I've been around in the SEC, whether it was at University of Georgia's running back coach or University of Alabama, the teams that win the SEC, they always have great senior groups. Not necessarily quantity, but quality. And I think that's very important when you look at a team. You know, a big part of it is quarterback position. We all know that. But the seniors lead the team, and they kind of determine how you go. You know, 42%, I heard Gus mention yesterday, talking about the games that are close. 42% of the SEC games, the intra-conference games, are decided by a score or less, one score or less. That's parity. And I think when you have that in a conference, your ability to manage close games, your ability to win close games, determines a lot about the season you have. So 42% of the games last year were decided by one touchdown or less. You know, that's amazing to me. I even looked and had somebody do a stat last night that in the NFL, where the greatest parity actually is, 51% of the games were decided by one score or less. And in the SEC, it's at 42. So it's a conference that's very competitive. Week in and week out is really tough. And I think depth is the key to surviving that gauntlet, and staying healthy is a big part of that. And we'll preach that to our players. So it's a big part for us. You know, I'm going to stop there, open this up for questioning, and start that now.
Thank you, Coach. If you have a question, please raise your hand. Again, we ask that you stand, give your name and affiliation. Thomas, Matt, and Tyler. Yeah, we'll have the microphones. We'll start right here, Coach, right here in the front, the second row.
John Chris, Saturday Down South. Coach, I think a lot of people just assume with your experience with Coach Saban that you're just going to kind of make Georgia sort of an Alabama East, if you will. But what are the types of things you've done and the types of things that you want to do to put your own personal stamp on this program?
Well, the biggest thing for me has been recognizing the difference. And I got great value from the 9 years I spent at the University of Alabama and the 11 years I worked for Coach Saban. But learning the difference between a team and a program. And that's where I want to put my stamp on the University of Georgia is that, you know, the difference in a team and a program. A team is a group of young men playing together. Program is the entirety of that. You know, what goes into that? How do we support these student-athletes off the field? What things can we give them from a nutrition standpoint, strength and development, their wellness, psychological development? Everything we can do for the team and for the entire program is the stamp that I'd like to put on it. You know, the trademark for us is going to be big, big, physical, fast football team. We're not there yet, but we're certainly moving that direction, and that's the stamp I'd like to put on it.
Coach, we'll go to our right here on the aisle, third row.
Matt Selesky, Fox Sports Shoals Radio. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Mark Richt had a lot of success at Georgia, 15 years. I know a lot of Georgia Nation really, really loved him. I know a lot of the players did. For you, Coach, how much of a challenge has it been to get those guys to kind of, I guess, really buy into you and what you're doing? Because I'm sure a lot of them still have some loyalty to Coach Richt.
You know, first, I'd like to say that Coach Richt is a good friend of mine, and I respect Coach Richt. I actually worked for Coach Richt for a year, and I respect the man that he is and respect what he stands for. And I don't think that it's a competition between Coach Richt and I to win over this team. I certainly think you earn that by the way you behave and the way you perform. And every kid I've ever been around as a football player, they want their coaches to make them better as men and as players. And I think if they see value in you as a coach, that you can create value in them as a player and a person, they respect that. And it's not a competition between he and I or me to win the team over. It's never what it's been about. I've got a lot of respect for Coach Richt. He's reached out to me, and we've had communication, and I think he's going to do a tremendous job at the University of Miami. But our team has moved forward. Our team is focused on this season and not looking in the rearview mirror.
Hey, we'll go to the middle section right here in the center row.
Stephen Smith, Touchdown Alabama Magazine. Coach, you were appointed to the Georgia job in December of 2015, but you chose to stay at Alabama and finish something with these guys. Aside from winning, you look at the players like Reuben Foster, Tim Williams, Ryan Anderson. What made you really stay there with those guys beyond winning, knowing that you had a job in pocket, but you decided to try to finish what you had started?
Well, bottom line, it was the right thing to do, and I think that's important. I think you judge somebody on their integrity and their character, and I don't think that I could be judged fairly if I turned my back on some kids who stood out for me and chose to come to the University of Alabama. Reuben being one of those guys, there's a lot of guys that I helped recruit there, and that kind of is what your legacy is. And when they put you 6 feet under, they remember you for the things you did, and they remember you for the way you treated people, and that was the right thing to do. Now, was it easy? By no means. Would I wish it on anybody? I wouldn't. It was tough at times, but it was the right thing to do, and I feel comfortable about that, and was very fortunate to win a national championship by doing it.
Coach, we'll go over to our left, about in the middle of the section.
Adam Sparks, the Tennessean. Coach, when you played the SEC East with especially strong Florida, Tennessee,
yeah.
now that you're back in the East Division, is the SEC better off if the East is as strong as the West? Tennessee and Georgia obviously are the two in the preseason polls at the top. Is the SEC better if the East is as strong as the West?
Absolutely. I think balance and parity is a key for any conference. I think if you ask the commissioner, he'd like to have that balance. You know, that's why they divided the conference the way they did. Certainly hasn't been that way. And it's our job on the East to do something about that. And we've got to do a great job on our side to compete, recruit, get the right facilities, put the right programs in place to be successful. But I think that parity is good for it. I think it creates better balance. I think when you get your every year opponent from the other side, when there's more balance, it's certainly a little more fair. And I think that's important to have that. But it has not been that way, and the onus is on the Eastern teams to do that.
Hey, Coach, we'll go right in front, second row.
Andrew Stevens, Dogpost and Scout.com. Coach, your momentum on the recruiting trail has been rather obvious. What does it mean to have guys like Richard LeCount and William Poole who are sort of pitching the UGA program when yourself and Mel Tucker and the other coaches cannot be?
Well, first off, I can't comment on those guys at all. But I will say this about recruiting. It's a continuous process. I think so many people get caught up in rankings and where you are and the momentum you have. I think all that's great. But at the end of the day, you got to go out on the grass and perform. You got to go get guys that can perform on the grass, and it's important to them. So we try not to get too caught up in you guys' rankings of recruiting. I think it's a lot more important to me that we get quality young men, good student athletes that can be successful at the University of Georgia, and that's my number one goal, and have those guys go out and perform on the field.
We'll go over here again on the left, the third row back.
Christopher Walsh, Bleacher Report. Jim McElwain said yesterday he wouldn't be surprised if Nick Saban coached forever.
Yeah.
But at this point of his career with all of his success, what still drives him?
Well, that's an easy question. He's driven to be the best. And I think that's what makes him different, because everybody's driven for their different purpose and everybody has their why. And for Coach Saban, I think he wants to be the best. And after spending 11 years with him, the things that I'm able to take are countless. I mean, I've learned so much from him as a coach, as a person, as a man, as a leader. But he will coach for a long time. I do believe that, because he likes it. He's passionate about it. He's very healthy. He takes care of his body. And he hadn't slowed down a bit. I promise you that.
Okay, we'll go to the left in the front row. Ron?
RonHigginsNola.com. Kirby, last year as a first-year head coach, Jim McElwain had like 8 players arrested. Yeah. I haven't had any this year so far. You've had 7. Is that a challenge of a first-year coach to kind of get your discipline policy across, and it takes a little time for them to get the message?
Well, first of all, I didn't realize that, so maybe I ought to call McElwain and see if he can give me some support there. But I think certainly it's an issue. And I think anytime you have those issues, you've got to put things in place within your program to help your players. Every way possible, we want to help and assist those guys. You know, we've had 5 guys that have been arrested. 2 are no longer with us, and I hate that for them. But our team's moved on, and it's very important that we don't make the same mistakes twice. And that's a big part of improvement, and we'll do everything we can possibly, and plenty of support from our athletic department to put things in place to help our players not to make those same mistakes again.
Okay, we'll stay on the same side, second row. Tom?
Yep, Tom Murphy, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. A two-parter, if you would. First, the running back situation. Could you update us on Michelle, Chubb, et cetera? And secondly, in your experience, what is the importance of having quality and depth on the defensive line in competing for championships?
I'll answer the second one first. You know, I think that we all know the SEC is a line of scrimmage league, and the teams that have dominated, you can point to a lot of factors. Okay, I've always thought it was the quarterback. Do you have a senior quarterback? You look at the last 10 years SEC champions, it's not necessarily senior quarterbacks. Okay, there's a lot of athletic quarterbacks in those 10, but the biggest thing is defensive line and dominating the line of scrimmage, stopping people from running the ball. And that's one of the things that in my history has been very important, to sign enough big bodies to dominate the line of scrimmage. And those are the hardest positions to come by now. When you go look, Those big guys, they don't grow on trees. You got to go find them. There's not enough of them out there to supply the entire SEC. So finding the big defensive lineman that can dominate the line of scrimmage is critical to your success in the Southeastern Conference. And then going back to your original question, you know, ask about Sony and Nick. That's a tough situation. You know, who would have thought at this point in time both guys would be, you know, on the sideline rehab? And I certainly wouldn't have thought that. Nick's progressing really well. Nick is working hard. I repeat that every time I talk. I don't think anybody in this room would expect anything less from Nick Chubb. I mean, this guy is passionate. It means something to him. He's doing everything with the rest of the team in as far as summer workouts. You know, that may change when we go to pads. He's not going to be able to go out there and do everything right away as far as tackling and scrimmaging, but ultimately he's got to gain confidence in that knee back, and he's taking the right steps in that direction. And then Sony, you know, kind of a sad injury, very upsetting for him. He's in probably the best shape of his life. He's worked hard to be in the best shape of his life. He's a very versatile back, and he's a great kid that had a really good spring practice. He took a lot of the load in spring practice with us being down running backs. But I don't know the expectation for Sony, whether he'll be back or not. Certainly we'll know a lot more as we get closer to the season, because a lot of that injury is how does the muscle repair itself around that plated bone. So that'll be a big part of it.
Coach, we'll go over to our right alongside the wall.
Right here, Coach. Alec McQuaid from 11alive.com. You already mentioned the quarterback battle, but I am curious because you did say you're obviously going to put the best player on the field. But some of those other factors that might come in, you have a senior quarterback with prior experience. You have a freshman quarterback that's kind of considered a fan favorite. How much do you weigh some of those other options while deciding the quarterback?
Zero. I mean, the options we're going to weigh are going to be what gives us the best chance to win. Because notice, I didn't say exactly what you said, where we're going to play the best player. We're going to play the best player that gives us the best opportunity to win football games. And I don't know who that is. If I knew, I promise you, I would tell you. I would give you the information. But I don't know that. And I think that a lot of those 28, 29 practices that we have will tell us that, how many practices we're able to have and show the improvement and the leadership that each guy has. And a lot of this now, this decision, I know a lot of coaches in the SEC are going through this. I've sat through a lot of meetings the last few years at University of Alabama making that same decision. I think a lot of that is how that person affects the rest of the offense. Does he make every player on the offense better? That's hard to measure. You know, that's a decision you got to make subjectively as a coach. And Coach Chaney and I will sit down and we'll make that decision hopefully sooner than later.
Okay, we'll go right here in the front row on the aisle.
Brandon Sudge with the making telegraphs. So do you feel more confident about your offensive line and tackles such as the additions of Tyler Catalina and all the other transfer offensive linemen that have been added?
Yeah, I actually feel better now than I felt going into spring. I think that's more because I just know more. You know, I don't think you're ever comfortable. I don't think you ask any coach in the SEC, is he comfortable with his offensive line? Nobody has enough tackles. Again, there's just not enough of them. You want a 6'5", 6'6" guy, they're hard to find. I feel much better now going into fall camp, having watched what we had in the spring and watched those guys improve under Coach Pittman's tutelage. But and Tyler Catalina coming in as a transfer, we hope to give us some competition there for a starting job. So I certainly feel better. I think the toughest part is staying injury-free and trying to find nine guys to rotate in there. Thanks, Brandon.
Okay, we'll go over here on the second row. Todd?
Hey, Coach. Todd Palmer, Kansas City Star. You kind of touched on the quarterback situation. There doesn't seem to be a lot of experience at quarterback just throughout the league. How much do you think that could impact ultimately the ceiling for the league this year and how well the offenses can go against these defenses?
Yeah, you know, it's getting to be a more and more of a trend, it seems to me, because it used to be there's a lot of good quarterbacks, and you hated that as a defensive coordinator for the last 8 or 9 years. You were facing some really talented guys, and it seems to be there's more question marks every time we have this event. Why is that? I don't know. There's more turnover, more transfers, more competition, more guys coming in to compete. I don't think it inhibits the league at all, because in years past we've had these same question marks. People arose. You know, certainly at this time nobody knew who Cam Newton was, and what he did was amazing. Nobody thought they knew what Nick Marshall was going to do. Nobody thought Blake Sims was going to do it. Nobody gave Jacob Coker a lot of credit either. So I think the ceiling is there for this conference, and we've proven that. I certainly think there are a lot of question marks at quarterback, and that may make a lot of defensive coordinators breathe easier this year. But in years past, you learn quickly that guys can arise, and they got a lot of playmakers with them, and they become really good players in this league.
Okay, we have time for a couple more. We'll start over here on the right on the aisle.
Dwayne Rankin, Montgomery Advertiser. Coach, you've been on the job for a few months now. How much are you still tapping into what you learned from Saban? How much are you stepping out on your own on what you want to do?
I think you never leave what you learned. I think what you have success with, you feel comfortable with, I think you always rely on that a little bit. I certainly got to be who I am, and our personalities are not the same, Coach Saban and I, and I've got the utmost respect for the job he's done and what he's done for me and my family. But certainly there's a great deal learned over the last 11 years, ways to handle certain situations, ways to handle players, ways to improve your team. That'll always stay with me. But there's certainly differences as well, and those are important to me.
Okay, we'll take one final question over here in the second row. Bob.
Hey Coach. Bob Holt, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I was wondering what you thought the impact of hiring Jim Chaney and Sam Pittman was, and this is the third SEC school they've been at together. Kind of how are those guys as a combo?
They are definitely a combo. I mean, these two guys are very witty, very funny, and they're very good football coaches. And they brought a lot of experience and value. Like I said in my opening statements, every guy on our staff has SEC experience of some kind. Those two guys got quite a bit. You know, they've been successful in a two-back run-oriented offense. They've been powerball, and they've run the ball really well in a tough conference to run the ball. And it's hard to run the ball in the SEC because you got really good defensive linemen. They've run the ball. They've thrown the ball in the SEC at a very high efficiency from the years at Tennessee. So both those things are what attracted me to them. They've got good proven credentials with what they've done. That was important not only in recruiting but to our current roster, and they've been a great pair.
All right. Thank you, Coach
Mark. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.